Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Our mission here is to cut through all the noise, grab the most vital pieces of knowledge from our source stack, and then synthesize them into something genuinely useful and, you know, maybe a little bit shocking for you.
It's a really fascinating snapshot of this moment, isn't it?
It is. Today, we are deep diving into this extremely chaotic intersection of high-stakes gaming, revolutionary tech, and the utterly confusing state of... well, reality.
Yeah, we've collected stories that show the absolute peak of human ingenuity. I mean, how far people are willing to push the limits, both physically and technologically.
Right.
But running parallel to all that innovation is this increasingly serious challenge of just figuring out what's real. The line between what's authentic, what's software generated, and what's a perfect fake is just dissolving.
And that's our focus. We're extracting the most surprising and insightful nuggets, especially where the digital and physical worlds are colliding, and where sometimes the digital is actively trying to trick us. Okay, let's unpack this with a clash of titans in the hardware world.
Handheld space.
Exactly. We're starting with the battle for handheld computing, specifically the huge success of Valve's Steam Deck. Our sources indicate the rumor mill was just grinding hard over a potential competitor from Microsoft.
Right, the so-called Xbox Series P.
A device supposedly running a stripped-down Xbox OS Lite.
And the industry was genuinely holding its breath, you know, waiting for a formal response from Valve. Microsoft has these vast resources, so everyone expected, I don't know, a detailed press release, a roadmap update.
Something corporate. Instead, we got probably the most powerful one-character statement in recent memory. Gabe Newell, the CEO of Valve, was asked on social media if the Steam Deck should be worried.
And his reply.
A single laughing emoji. That's it.
And that's not just a joke. That's a strategic statement of dominance. It's the sound of someone who is completely secure in their market position.
So what's he laughing at?
The analysis from our sources suggests Gabe's laugh. It wasn't about hardware. He knows Microsoft could clone the physical box tomorrow.
Of course.
It was a laugh directed purely at the software problem.
Ah, okay. That's the crucial insight. Microsoft's history with small-scale touchscreen operating systems is... well, it's rough.
It's very rough. Think Windows on tablets or their other attempts at portable devices. They have a core problem with making lightweight, polished interfaces that just work.
It always feels like a shrunken down PC.
Exactly. The challenge for them is structural.
Yeah.
Their entire empire is built on the Windows ecosystem.
Yeah.
And trying to shave that down into a seamless handheld experience, it usually ends in frustration, driver chaos, and, you know.
The constant unwanted updates.
Always. Valve, on the other hand, built SteamOS and the Proton layer specifically for this. It's a polished diamond because it was designed from the ground up for gaming flow, not for spreadsheets.
So if Microsoft poured billions into this thing, this Xbox Series P, are you saying the hardware specs wouldn't even matter? Couldn't they just sell it at a loss and compete on price?
Oh, they absolutely could throw money at it. But the strategic lesson here is about friction. Valve has eliminated the friction. You buy a Steam Deck, you log in, and your entire library is just there. It works.
It's a console-like experience.
It is. For Microsoft to match that, they need an Xbox-flavored OS that doesn't constantly remind you that you're running a constrained PC. That emoji signals confidence that Microsoft just can't solve that software problem cleanly, not without compromising their bigger commitment to Windows.
So the software is the real moat here.
It's the true intellectual property, not the chips inside the box.
Okay, the power of a frictionless digital ecosystem. Let's take that idea and see what happens when that influence leaks out of the screen and starts, well, actively changing the physical world around us.
This is where things get really wild.
Ooh.
We are talking about the chaotic fallout from the leaked GTAV's map.
The anticipation for Grand Theft Auto VI is so massive that the digital world didn't just break the fourth wall.
It started to overwrite reality.
And actual businesses are paying the price for it.
Yeah. So when the map for the fictional city Leonida leaked, fans didn't just look at it. They cross-referenced everything. Rockstar, as they do, modeled specific buildings, nightclubs, diners, parking garages, exactly after their real-life counterparts in Florida.
And what happened next was like a digital flash flood. Thousands of gamers decided to treat the real-world Google Maps listings for these businesses as if they were game locations.
They started leaving these bizarre, lore-specific reviews that must have been so confusing for the owners.
Our sources pulled some amazing examples. The reviews were all focused on gameplay mechanics. So one person reviews a real diner and writes, "The food is great, but the NPC pathfinding in the kitchen is buggy.
Oh, wow.
Another one reviewed a legitimate parking garage, giving it 5 stars and writing, "This is where Jason parked the getaway car. 5 stars for the hiding spot."
Okay, let's pause on that NPC pathfinding comment for you, the listener. NPC is a non-player character. Pathfinding is the code that tells AI how to move. So when a gamer says the pathfinding in a real restaurant is buggy, they are literally treating the human staff, the cooks, the waiters, as if they are lines of faulty code in a video game.
That is. It's deeply disturbing, but also a profound testament to Rockstar's power. They don't just mimic reality. They're so good at it that they're functionally overriding real-world perception for their fans.
And that has real consequences. Imagine you own one of those businesses. You rely on Google reviews. Suddenly you get this flood of 5-star reviews praising hiding spots, mixed with 1-star reviews complaining about buggy AI.
It's messing with your actual livelihood.
It is, simply because your building had a unique look that Rockstar decided to copy.
It changes the whole idea of location scouting. You create a hyper-realistic world, and now that world is trying to control the original.
Okay, that's a fascinating pivot. Let's move now from external software control to the extremes of internal human control.
How people are pushing the limits of interaction, both biologically and physically. Right, and we're starting with something unbelievable in competitive gaming. Using biofeedback as a weapon.
This is the story of a Japanese streamer known as Paracarry. She achieved a world record by defeating the final boss of the Elden Ring DLC using an ECG monitor as her controller.
Okay, the complexity of that is just staggering. You're talking about gaming with your literal heartbeat. How did she map her fight or flight response to game controls?
It was this beautiful, terrifying dance. She had sensors on her chest tracking her heart rate. And the system was calibrated so that when her heart rate spiked from fear, stress, adrenaline, it would register as an attack command in the game.
So the natural terror response was weaponized into aggression. When the boss lunges, her fear makes her attack.
Exactly. But here's the genius of it and the real difficulty. The defensive moves, block or dodge, required the complete opposite.
What, she had to calm down?
She had to actively calm her heart rate down in real time. Facing an instantaneous threat on screen, she had to achieve something close to Zen just to dodge.
That is biofeedback warfare. That elevates gaming from just finger dexterity to, I mean, total psychological mastery.
It does. It shows the extreme lengths humans will go to master a system.
Yeah.
Now, let's contrast that intense organic effort with physical extremism on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
The world of analog cinema purity.
Courtesy of Christopher Nolan.
Ah, yes. The physical monolith. Nolan, the purist. He's famous for insisting on analog film, rejecting digital. We have leaked photos from his new thriller and the gear. It looks less like a camera and more like military hardware.
It's basically an ideological statement on film. He's using a custom-built IMAX camera setup. The camera housing alone, with film, weighs approximately 300 kilograms.
That's about 660 pounds.
It weighs more than a professional sumo wrestler.
And the sources noted this caused huge problems. Standard Hollywood cranes couldn't handle the load. They just kept collapsing.
They had to retrofit an armored military vehicle just to move the camera around. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why go through that insane logistical nightmare when digital cameras are so good now?
Nolan's quote on this answers everything, he said. Because the human eye sees light, not pixels.
And that's the core of it. That is his whole ideology. He's committing to the physical truth of light hitting celluloid, demanding a resolution that's equivalent to 18K digital, even if it means bringing a tank to the set.
It's a refusal to accept the compromises of digital capture.
He's fighting the digital tide with sheer physical force.
So on one hand, you have Paracarry pushing the inner limit control over her own heartbeat. On the other, Nolan pushing the outer physical limit, a 660-pound machine, both rejecting the easy solution.
Absolutely.
But those examples involve visible, tangible effort. Now we have to shift focus to the truly disturbing part, threats that are completely invisible or perfect imitations. This is where we get into the infiltration of the fake.
The Grammy scandal is probably the most profound recent example of how far AI deception has come. A track nominated for Best Electronic Recording at the 2026 Grammys was disqualified.
Why?
It was revealed to be a complete fraud. The track was generated entirely by the Suno V4 AI model.
And the composer just submitted it, claimed it was their original work.
Claimed it was their soul poured into the recording. And here's the scary critical part. If you, the listener, had heard this track, you would not have noticed a thing. The complexity, the emotion, the production. It was indistinguishable from professional human work. No one could tell by just listening.
So how did they catch it? If it sounded perfect, what was the tell?
They had to use specialized forensic audio analysis. They weren't listening. They were looking at the spectrogram, the visual map of the sound. That's where they found the digital signature of the AI.
Hiding where?
In the sub-20 hertz frequencies.
That's below the range of human hearing. We can't even perceive that.
Exactly. That ultra-low range is where the mathematical models often leave behind these little artifacts, these compression flaws, or unique patterns that serve as an invisible fingerprint. The machine knows we can't hear it, but the pattern is still there.
Wow. So if the only difference between a human soul and machine learning is a signal that we can't physically hear, what value do we even place on creative authenticity anymore? Does the struggle even matter if the result feels identical?
That is the question that will define the next decade for every creative field. We are past the point where we can trust our own ears. Authentication tech is now just as critical as creation tech.
And we need to connect this sophisticated digital deception to an immediate real-world danger, because this theme of perfect imitation continues with a critical security alert about malware.
Yes, we have to issue an urgent warning to you, the learner. There's a dangerous file circulating right now named gtabetaaccess.exe. It's being pushed aggressively on Telegram and Discord, preying on that same game anticipation we talked about earlier.
This isn't just a fake download. It's a digital landmine. Do not touch this file. It is a highly sophisticated wallet drainer malware.
Once you run it, it instantly scans your computer for crypto wallet extensions, targeting MetaMask, Trust Wallet. But the real danger is that it goes further. It steals your browser session cookies.
Okay, let's clarify that. Why is stealing session cookies worse than just stealing the crypto?
Because a session cookie is the digital key that says, I'm already logged into this website. If a thief gets those cookies, they can bypass two-factor authentication, they can bypass passwords, and get logged in access to almost everything you use.
Your bank, your email, everything.
Everything. It's a deep entry point into your entire digital life, way beyond just the crypto it drains first.
So it leverages the trust in a huge game to execute a completely devastating theft. Over 3,000 victims have already reported their accounts were drained.
The main takeaway here is very simple, and it's not technical. Rockstar Games will never release a beta of their most valuable IP through a back channel like Telegram. It's just not going to happen.
It truly underscores the theme of this whole deep dive. The more advanced our tech gets, the harder it is to tell truth from fiction, and the higher the stakes are for just being careful.
It really does.
So as we synthesize these themes for you, what have we really learned? We've seen a market war decided not by hardware, but by the frictionless polish of software. We've watched reality get overwritten by fan fiction, causing real-world problems.
We've explored the absolute extremes of human effort, from heart rate biocontrol to a 660-pound camera.
And finally, we've confronted the invisible threat of perfect digital imitation in both Grammy-nominated music and in sophisticated malware scams.
And our sources conclude with this powerful sentiment about resilience. In an era defined by chaos and constant deception, the simple act of engaging with knowledge, the fact that you, the learner, are here dissecting these threats with us, that is an act of resilience in itself.
And as we close, I want to leave you with one final provocative thought going back to that Grammy scandal. When software can perfectly mimic or even override reality, and the only thing separating human creation from machine generation is an inaudible signature, how should we define authenticity going forward? And critically, if we can't hear the difference, what do we lose when we stop valuing the human struggle, the sweat, the heart rate spike, that 660-pound effort in favor of flawless machine-generated perfection?
Stay sharp, stay informed, and always verify your source. We'll talk to you next time.